Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Good Sunday to you. Once again, you're not here, you're there. I'm here in the church. I'm so glad you've joined us today for the message, He is our peace. Now, several of you have texted me, private messaged me, and asked about a praise service. I want you to know we are working on that and considering how we could safely do that with the limitations. So don't think I've ignored you. We're working on it. But let's begin this day. Again, I want to ask you if you've joined us, wave so that we will know you're here. Let us know where you're from. Of course, parishioners, I know where you're from. But if you're visiting us today, let us know where you're from. Let's open in prayer today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you for our privilege of being together virtually. And we pray for the reunion of face-to-face fellowship in the church. We pray that you touch all those affected by this horrible virus, that you give wisdom to our president and the leaders dealing with a solution to or a plan for how to handle this situation. We pray for our churches across the world, our missionaries across the world, both in U.S. and world missions. And we pray for all the ministers of the gospel, chaplains, and all those that are responding to the needs of the people this day. Let your anointing rest upon the word this morning that will be shared. We bless your name. Amen and amen. Well, this message came from the Lord speaking something to my heart. And I then began to research it out, and I want to share it with you today. It's a message called, He is our peace. In Ephesians 2 and 14, Scripture says, Paul wrote and said, He himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So Paul proclaims that Jesus is our peace and that he made a way through to the Lord God Almighty. So I'm going to say again what I've said every single week. This is a weird time in the world. It's a weird place that we can't go and come freely. But be wise. Do what the officials ask you to do. It's just weird. It's just weird not being able to be with the church family, to be able to just run to the store, run to here, run to there. But the good news is that the Lord has not forsaken us. He's not disappeared from our lives. He's still present. He's still working, and he's still operating. But as you well know, whenever there's a great disruption in our daily schedules and our daily activities, it can be unsettling. This week, I had a rough day, actually. One day, I felt like I was trapped. And I had gone out in the backyard as many times as I could go. I'd gone to the front yard. I'd gone into the garage. And there was just no relief from this sense of feeling trapped. And I was out in the garage moving some things around, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I am your peace. And I said, that's the truth. You are my peace. And I began to dwell on that statement. I am your peace. And so this is where the message came from this morning. Jesus is our peace. I want you to understand, spiritual, biblical peace is very different than a natural world kind of peace. Because spiritual, biblical peace is totally unrelated to the circumstances we find our lives in. It's not touched or moved by anything that happens on the outside. The kind of peace Jesus was talking about. Is not moved by difficulties. It's not moved by pain. It's not moved by sorrow. The peace still exists. James wrote it this way. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. James 1 and 2. So I ask you this morning, got some trials going on in your life? Got some difficulties going on in your life? I'm sure you do. Across the world, there are difficulties associated with what the world is dealing with. But have we counted this trial joyfully? Is there joy in your heart today? And how much joy have we expressed over this quarantine situation? Husbands and wives have been able to spend more time together than they were spending previously. Parents have spent more time with their children than they had been spending time. I'm amazed in our neighborhood that I've watched as the kids go up and down the street on their bikes. I look down in the cul-de-sac area, and the neighbors, social distancing, of course, had set up their chairs, and they were watching all the kids play. And I thought, you know what? I wonder if they've ever even done that before. I see the neighborhood out walking in the church, in the area the church is in. You see people walking continually and talking from the social distance arena of 6 foot, but talking. And I wondered, have they been doing that before? Or is this one of the joys that this horrible coronavirus has brought? That people are reconnecting. Husbands and wives, parents and children, neighbors and friends. So there are things that we can be joyful about. But I want to say to you this morning, you can also have peace about this situation. Peace in your heart, no matter what you are facing. All Scripture comes from the Lord. And Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus in John, the book of John, shares a story about on the night before he was to be betrayed, how he met with his disciples again, how he drew them close to him, and he began to minister to them, telling them, I'm going to go away. This is going to happen. There's going to be some difficulties. He was trying to prepare them that they could accept, number one, that he was leaving, but number two, that they would begin to face their ministries with him not physically present. But he tells them this, and this is the text this morning, John 14 and 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I believe that Scripture speaks to us today the same thing. Jesus says to every believer this day in our world, peace I give to you. Not like the world gives. The kind of peace that Jesus offers is a sustaining eternal peace. So I begin to think about that a lot this week, about Jesus' peace. What does it look like? How does it operate? How do we tap into Jesus' peace? Jesus was speaking about enabling those believers to be calm, though their hearts would be sad that he had left, and calm as they begin their ministries when they would be being rejected. And he was telling them that they need not be fearful in wildly crazy circumstances, that his peace could hush a cry. His peace could calm a riot. His peace could conquer pain and trial, and that we could sing in the midst of suffering. In fact, one of the beautiful passages in Scripture, Paul and Silas are in prison, and in that gross prison, mistreated, you know it must have smelled, they begin to sing. Why could they sing? Because the peace of the Lord was their portion, and they were dwelling on him and not the environment or the circumstance. And because they sang, because they lifted the name of the Lord up, Scripture tells us that the jailer and his entire household was saved, and they were restored. You see, in the crucifixion, which we've been talking about the last 3 weeks, Jesus knew exactly what he was facing. He knew he would be betrayed. He knew he would face the lashing that he faced. He knew he would face the mockery. And yet, even in all of that, he's saying, peace be still. He knew what was before him. He knew the pain and the agony. And he still said, peace be still. And he's saying it to you and me this day. Peace be still. He knows coronavirus is all over the world. Peace be still, believer. I give you my peace. So he enables us through his peace to go through these circumstances. This peace of the Lord is never changed by circumstances. Instead, that divine peace of God that Jesus was talking about and exemplified is what changed the people and circumstance around them. In fact, in Isaiah, a prophecy about the Messiah, Isaiah 9 and 6 said this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You've sung that. At Christmas time, you've sung that song. So what does it mean that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? The Prince of Peace and the peace of God have their foundation in a factual peace with God. You understand that correlation? It's not just God's peace that only resides in God. It's when we come into peace with Him that that peace then comes within each and every one of us and can reside with us. Look at this in Philippians 4 and 9. "Whatever you have learned and received of me or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." Paul is saying, look, if you've seen, whatever you've seen me do, however you've seen me behave, if you've received my teachings of the truth of the gospel, copy those. And when you do those things, the God of peace will also be with you. Further on in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he writes, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." And again, in Hebrews 13 and 20, he's called the God of peace. Scripture says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of an everlasting covenant. So Jesus Christ is the one who gives peace through God. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. I put a little bookmarker about peace up on my Facebook this week, and it said, peace is our gift. It's our portion in Christ. Oh, take advantage of your portion. Don't leave your gift lying flat. Take advantage of the peace of God that is provided to us. Notice he said, my peace. It's him. Do you see that this morning? It's him. He is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And he is our peace. And he's saying, I'm going to give this to you. Oh, Lord, help us receive this. It's a deep, abiding peace that kept him in the midst, if you remember last week's message, it kept him in the midst of the mockers, in the haters, in the murderers, in the traitors, and everything else that it faced. It kept him at peace. And he's saying, this I give to you. So receive his peace. He was calm in an inhumane and a non-natural situation. He remained calm in the midst of it, in the midst of incomparable resistance and persecution. Jesus was unfaltering. He was the rock. Can you imagine the people that witnessed this? How confused and dumbfounded they were that this man who proclaimed himself to be Messiah and has gone through trial and been mocked and now lashed and he's hanging on the cross and he's at peace. Well, here, let's take this home to us. Can you imagine what people think when you stand rock solid, steady in peace, when the turmoil of life is all around, when this circumstance of quarantine and isolation exists, and yet you remain peaceful, calm, and assured in that place? Oh, don't misunderstand me. Everybody's going to have a day. I had my day this week where I felt trapped and wanted out. Everybody's going to have that day. That doesn't change the peace of God. It's just a natural reaction to having a schedule totally altered and in the inability to be close to people I so dearly love. But his peace did not change. But I had to do some things in that day, and in a minute I'm going to tell you about those things that we can do. But what a testimony your life is when in the midst of a storm you remain calm because the peace of God is operating through you. When Jesus went before Pilate, Pilate got so agitated because Jesus was so calm and serene. And Pilate says to him in John 19:10, "Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and I have the authority to crucify you?" He was frustrated because Jesus remained calm and peaceful. And if you remember last week's message, you know what Jesus answered. John 19:11, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." Jesus is declaring in that place of great discomfort, only through him and agreement with the Father could these things happen. This is the kind of peace he's talking about, the kind of peace that he is. There's a song, I also posted this week. "He is our peace who has broken down every wall. He is our peace. Cast all your care on him, for he cares for you." He is our peace. He's our authority. You know what makes us lose our peace is when we become distracted by all that is around us. You can barely watch the news that it doesn't want to set off panic with all the panic modality they're all talking in. You see, I don't feel panic. I feel like God will do exactly what he said. He'll watch over his children. He'll make a way where there seems to be none. He'll give us his peace to be sustained through this place. But there is something I do, and that is I don't watch mainstream media very often, because you can begin to feed on it, not wanting to, but just feeding on all the negativity and the chaos. And then all of a sudden, it affects you. It affects your demeanor. It affects your attitude. It affects your presentation. Jesus says in Scripture, "My peace I give to you." Not like the world. "I give you my peace." This day, don't you want the peace of the Lord to reign within? It also doesn't escape my attention that Jesus, knowing what he was facing, pulled his disciples near him, those that had followed him for the 3 years of his ministry, 3.5 years, and he was encouraging them. He was speaking encouragement and hope and fulfillment of the promise to their life. Some of them got it and some of them didn't, but he was reminding them that he was their peace, he was their provision. In John 14:27, I want to read it to you again. That's the text. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Folks, that's it right there. His peace is what keeps us from being troubled and fearful. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he's never failed us. Why? Because he always does what he says he's going to do. And he says in Scripture, he makes a way where there seems to be none. That he never leaves us. Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. He says he goes before us to make the crooked ways straight. We can rest in those promises. So my question to you this day is this. Do you want his peace? It's a gift. It's yours. You don't have to beg for it. It's right there for you. How do we receive his peace? Well, there's three ways that I think the Lord spoke to my heart about the way we can receive his peace. First off, our focus has to be on him and not all the mess that's going on around us. We have to keep our eyes upward. Whenever you begin to feel rattled or pressured or peaceless, think about this. Talk to him. Talk to him. You don't have to have a litany of prayers in your memory bank. Just talk to him. Be transparent about what you feel because he knows what you feel. Tell him of your feelings. Secondly, read the Word, and write down scriptures that deal with peace. I was doing research on scriptures that talk about His peace, and they were endless. And so what I wanted to do, and they're on the board, you can see them, I've picked out some scriptures that I believe we can cling to in this time of our quarantine. These are but a few. So first, we want to talk to Him. We want to be transparent and honest and talk to Him. Secondly, we want to read the Word. Write down scriptures that appeal to you. Put them on something and keep it with you. The first one I included is from Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God." Did you see this transition? Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Put your prayer and your petition with thanksgiving before Him. And the scripture goes on and says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." So there's a sequence there we have to go through. That sequence is, I'm going to choose to not be anxious, no matter what it is I'm facing. And if that tries to creep in, I'm going to begin to pray and petition the Lord for the gifts that are already mine. And I'm going to thank Him as I present these requests to Him. And then He assures us in His Word that the God of peace then, which transcends all this understanding that we don't have, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The second one is in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." And in Isaiah 26, I don't know how many Bibles I have this underline in and how many that is written in the flap of. It happens to be one of the scriptures that I've stood on and stood on and stood on. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast." In another translation it says, "Those whose mind are stayed on you, because they trust in you." Let's look at this just for a second. You will keep in perfect peace. There's the promise. I'm going to keep in perfect peace. Who am I going to keep in perfect peace? Those whose minds are steadfast, are stayed, focused, aimed right at His truth. Why is He going to keep us in perfect peace? Because we trust in Him. You got to let go and let God. Remember that old saying from several years back, we're going to let go and let God? We need to still let go and let God. And in Colossians 3:15, it says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." To me, as a preacher of a gospel, 30 years in ministry, 30 plus actually, I can tell you, the church needs to be calm. It needs to be rock steady and sure that God's on the throne. Jesus is beside Him. He knows what's happening. He will keep us. He will make ways where there seems to be none. He'll make provision where there is no provision, yet He makes a way. But we've got to be people that let the peace of Christ rule in our heart. When we begin to feel unsettled, talk to Him. Begin to go through His Word and find scriptures to hang on to and cling to. And finally, step three of this is ask for peace. Lord, I receive Your peace. You said it was my gift. You said, I give You my peace. Well, Lord, I receive Your peace. Let me sense that presence of peace in my life. His peace is our peace. His peace is our gift. You don't have to beg God for it. He's already made the provision for each and every one of us. And I will say this, we need His peace. Every single person needs His peace. Is it easy? No, But discipline spiritually takes work, just like being a CrossFit person takes work. You have to stick to what you know is going to be good for you. You have to hang on even when everything in you is saying, I don't want to do this, I'm sick of it, I want to run, I want to hide, I want to get away. You got to hang on to what you know is truth and the provision in the Word for each and every one of us. He very clearly and emphatically says to his disciples in their last encounters, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Church, we have the greatest opportunity in the world at this time, and that is to be beacons of truth for Christ. To be the living epistle written by the hand of God so that all men might see and know Him. If you don't feel peaceful, seek the giver of that peace. In some denominations, there's a section in their services, and we do this at Christmas time, where you offer the sign of peace. I began to research that in this week. And when we offer the sign of peace, we say, peace be with you. Well, we're not saying Kathy Moore's peace is coming to be with you. And we're not saying whoever parishioner's peace is coming to be with you. You're saying, peace be with you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And the response to it is, and also with you, for the person whose hand you shook. Well, obviously, we're going to be elbow bumping, and we'll go, peace be with you, and you'll go, and also with you. But isn't that a wonderful greeting? Oh, I recognize, and I'm agreeing with Scripture, peace be with you. And you come right back at me and go, and also with you. Love it. We may have to include that in our services, the offering of the sign of peace. Let's pray this morning. I pray that you will dwell on these Scriptures, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, 2 Thessalonians 3, 16, Isaiah 26, 3, and Colossians 3, 15. Remember, the text came from John 14, 27. Dwell on these Scriptures this week. If you feel unsettled, if you feel fearful, if you're lacking peace, remember the three steps. Talk to Him. Pour your heart out to Him. Read the Word and hang on to some of these Scriptures. And finally, just simply ask for what is yours, His peace. Let's pray. Father, we need your peace. Help us dwell in you. When fear would attempt to well up within these vessels, I pray that you help us talk to you. Seek your word for truth to stand on. And Lord, I pray that you help us dwell in that word and receive what you've already provided for each and every one of us. The peace of God, which Scripture says transcends our understanding. I ask these things this morning and acknowledge that you are the giver of all that is good, and every Scripture encourages and reveals that you are the God of peace and you are the provider. We bless your name. We can trust you. We can sense your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple of reminders before the benedictory prayer. And that's it. Stay in touch with us at northwestag.org, Northwest Assembly of God on YouTube, and Northwest AG on Facebook. And if you have a prayer request or you would like prayer for your petition to come forward, you can send that to info@northwestag.org. We check that daily to see who has texted in. This is not going to last forever. And I got to tell you, all throughout Facebook the last few weeks, it's talked about not wanting to go back to what was normal. I want to tell you, I don't want to go back to what was before. Let's go forward in a new place. Let's go forward from once we can be back together again, let us go forward in a new place. I close this morning with the declarations from Numbers 6, 24, and 26, and it says this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace.